Welcome to my podcast, Musings of a Christian Philosopher, where we talk about deep and often challenging topics of theology and philosophy. I'm your host, Adam Polstra. Let's get started. Would you consider yourself to be a productive person? Disciplined? Hardworking? Or perhaps you consider yourself to be that kind of person, but you have a hard time with it. What I mean by that is the sort of person who will do their job and they'll do it diligently. Maybe you don't want to go above and beyond, but you're willing to get your work done. You try to get it done in a reasonable amount of time. You're not, if you're working a 9-to-5 or something akin to that, you're not using company time, just going to the bathroom or something like that. And if you're a parent, especially, maybe you finish your work, you come back home, and you're still willing and have sufficient energy to play with your children. When I say productive person, I'm not necessarily talking about making money or any other kind of resources, farming perhaps, though that's certainly included. It could be the sort of person who is willing to offer things of value to other people if they happen to be in your presence. Maybe it's that you contribute snacks or games or entertainment of some other kind. You try to be the one who makes it worth other people's while that you are there. See, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that one of the things that I have noticed is that throughout the course of your life, at least my life, living mostly around the church, Christian people, people who care at least to some extent about morality and conscience, as I've mentioned many times, I've encountered quite a number of people in more or less both camps. Most of the people, thankfully, that I tend to gravitate towards and associate with are the productive. They're disciplined, they are willing to work hard, some of them much more hard than me, and they push. They will give it, not necessarily their all the time, because they've learned well enough that that causes burnout, but they are willing to give it their rational, reasonable all. Perhaps that's a steady rate of 75% and the occasional push to 100. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but that's kind of what it appears to be to me, including in my own life. And the problem that I have seen in this dichotomy of the reality, it's almost like a, you know, two different kinds of people thing again, where you have the productive and the lazy. And I haven't really talked about the lazy yet, but we'll get there. The issue that I see with the two groups of people is that they have such a tendency to be intermingled. You have those that are not really willing to work at all, being friends with those who are willing to work very hard. And by the way, normally, I think especially in secular groupings, this does not tend to happen. If a person is willing to work very hard and do their due diligence, they don't really want to associate with those who are rather lazy and slothful. And that reasoning may be rather selfish and arrogant, but they at least do that. Now, of course, I'm kind of letting the cat right out of the bag by pointing out that intermingling these two groups of people is a bad thing. And yes, I think it is, in fact, a bad thing. But among Christian groups and people who essentially take it for granted that anyone who calls themselves a Christian, says that they try to live a moral life, or anything like that, regardless of how they actually live in action, well, they too at least care, right? They care about working hard. They care about putting forth effort. They care about doing their part. Right? No. We've talked a number of times in this podcast about virtue signaling, and this is one of the ones that I have certainly seen. People can talk all the livelong day about how much they care about putting forth their effort. They might even have a 9-to-5 job or some other sort of work through which they make money. Sure, that's absolutely possible and not uncommon. But if you were to see them in their private lives, when they go home, What is it that they're doing? Many of them are napping. Many of them are playing video games. Many of them just kind of crash in some sense. What I'm getting at is that they try to get away with the bare minimum. Whatever it is that will make them the sufficient amount of money so that they can essentially survive, that is all. That is really all that they are willing to do. Or perhaps you have the wife who has married a decently productive man, and she probably displayed it ahead of time that what she considers herself to be and how she considers herself to supply value is simply by being pretty. She's hot, she's rather airheaded, perhaps, and she wants the world to treat her like a princess. And she bagged herself a man who wants just pretty and princess and to be wants to treat a woman as if she is the center of the entire freaking universe. And if you see her in her private life, in her public life, of course, she keeps up those appearances. That's the whole gig. She's prim and proper. She wears probably very impractical clothes, maybe has nails that are way too long. And if you saw her at home, and God help them if they have children, well, she's probably doing as little as possible, and if they're wealthy enough, they might have a nanny or tutors and or tutors, that kind of thing, but she's not really doing anything productive with her time. She's just kind of going around to restaurants with her friends and probably complaining about her oafish husband. Those who are lazy, just like anybody else in the moral world, do their darndest to look as if they're not. The woman who looks prim and proper and wearing impractical clothes, pretty but impractical, she looks great in public. The guy who works a 9-to-5 and does his job somewhat diligently, probably trying to slough off wherever he can get away with it, but, you know, at least enough to keep his job. You saw him at home, he's sleeping on the couch, or just going out for dinner if he's single, or waiting on his wife to make him dinner if he's not. And really doing not much at all, and barely interacting with his children if he has any. The problem with moral circles of people who, for whatever reason, have been propagandized, and this is really the core issue that I've seen growing up, they have been propagandized into believing that everybody else is exactly the way that they are. If you, the moral person who is also productive, have grown up in this kind of an environment, you probably assume that anybody else who claims the same general worldview as you also lives like you do. And of course, this core crux of it is not their productivity, but productivity is the topic of today. When in reality, not everybody else around you, but there are many people who will be around you who only claim to be like you. And they claim to be like you so that they can remain in respectable circles. So that they can continue to have a good name and recognition. And perhaps even continue to have, quote, friends who are good, productive, smart, industrious people, without having to be it themselves. And the real question is simply how long they can keep the grift up, if they are not willing to change. But as I said earlier, why is it that I do think it is a very bad thing for lazy people for productive people to commune with slothful and lazy people? And the simple answer to that question is leeching, parasitism, using. Here's an example. Very often you have circumstances under which abusive and lazy parents have been raising up their children, particularly with moral and or Christian values, to be hardworking. They need to do their chores. They need to do, quote-unquote, their part. They need to work hard, but the parents really don't. Again, they will put on the appearance of doing so, and they might have certain skills, perhaps some sort of repair, plumbing, or vehicles, or perhaps playing an instrument, something that they do genuinely enjoy, but they're not doing it because it is part of being disciplined. They're only doing those things because it's one thing they happen to enjoy. And then with the rest of their lives, if they have to make some money or have to begrudgingly take care of their children every once in a while, they will do the bare minimum, nothing more, and try to just get over with it and then rest. And by the way, I don't think such people really do rest, but I can get to that later if I think of it. And as a result of this, if the child takes that lesson seriously, and especially if they do take in this idea of family loyalty and the necessity of working hard and so on and so forth, you have a situation under which the parents can continue to exploit their now disciplined and productive child while they do about as little as possible, if not nothing at all. Maybe the child even gets married, either to a woman who is willing to cook, or she is their child, she being the wife is their child, and she is very willing to cook, because of course that's part of the traditional Christian family structure, so she was taught to do the typical female stuff, which I have no problem with, one way or the other. So the parents come over, and they tend to be rather insistent on making very regular visits. And when they are there, they just kind of lean on their children, their child, and their stepchild, or child-in-law, to do everything, more or less. They get to be treated, maybe they take a nap, maybe they just enjoy the food and some conversation, and perhaps they're a bit jerky while they're there, making light but bantering insults and giggling about their insults while they give them, and then they leave and come back probably a few days later. Looking at that kind of an example, what is that doing to the productive? All that those parents are doing is being parasites. Sure, they're going to do, once again, the bare minimum that is necessary to continue to maintain a good name, to hopefully not be noticed. It's not what they're actively thinking. This is always unconscious stuff. It's still part of their working MO, though. They're doing the bare minimum they need to do to be called out as seldom as possible, to not look like they're doing nothing, to have plausible deniability if they were, say, put under interrogation. Oh no, I do enough. I one time helped with the children doing this thing. It was when the parents were actually away and there was really no other option, but that's, you know, I did the thing. I helped out. Or, of course, you could have this same sort of thing happening from one spouse to the other. One spouse is very productive and industrious and hardworking, and the other is lazy. But the lazy one is going to do enough to have plausible deniability if ever put under some sort of interrogation. And by interrogation, I don't mean professional court lie detector test. I mean something like another family member starting to ask some uncomfortable questions. They have the plausible deniability, and then if you push beyond that, they probably get upset and start calling you names, or just getting angry in general, or, you know, maybe even trying to throw you out of their house. Under these circumstances, once again, what is happening to the productive? First of all, yes, they are being used. They are being parasitized. Their productivity is going into the endless sinkhole of the lazy. Be it a spouse, be it parents, be it friends. Now, I can hear some people, particularly the moralists, the Christians, and again, I consider myself among them in a sense. I'm moral and Christian, but I'm not what you would call a moralist. I can hear them saying, oh, but you're being so harsh on those who can't work hard, on those who are unable. Maybe they have a physical condition. Maybe they're chronically depressed. Sure. Yeah, I've seen that very often. In fact, these are exactly the kind of people I have in mind when I'm talking about this. You might go, oh, that's so cruel. Those people are actually sick. Yeah. Where did that start? That's my question. Where did that begin? For many people who are deep in the bad physical health pit of darkness, whatever you might call it, I haven't seen any instances yet where those people are not also those who both had extremely lazy and abusive parents, and they also gave in fully to those parents for an extended period of time, if not still. Did you know, for example, that 70% of human ailments are self-inflicted? What happens to the person who is fully subservient to the abusive, the lazy, and those who use everyone else around them as much as humanly possible? To their minds and to their hearts, of course, it's going to drag them down and down and down. What's going to result from that? Depression. And as far as their physical bodies, what's that going to do? Depression or any just general kind of anxiety. Oh, I have to entertain my parents because they're my parents, but I hate having them here, but you're not really willing to fully admit that to yourself. Are you likely to be happy and continuously, not just productive, because you're still going to at least try to keep that up, but are you going to have healthy habits? Are you going to have a healthy diet? Are you going to be willing to do fun things very often? And even when you do fun things, are you really going to get much value out of those fun things? Or is it going to be the last straw in an already exhausted body and heart and mind? That just kind of sends you spiraling and maybe wanting to lay down for a couple of days. Or perhaps those who are unwell and depressed aren't quite in that kind of a camp, but they perhaps gave up at some point in their lives. There was one point at which they had an aspiring future in career, in their career. And perhaps they got fired. Perhaps in some other way they got rejected. Or perhaps they did have a health emergency and they were unable to keep the job going. And reluctantly they were let go. Such people who, yes, have pitiably, sadly faced some bad circumstances and perhaps some very legitimate health problems for a while. Are they willing to pick back up and keep going? Did they make the choice that even the worst of things is not going to keep them down if they can do anything about it? Now, you might be thinking about those who with genuinely permanent physical issues, those who wind up or are born with spina bifida, perhaps. I have had a couple friend, one or two friends with that condition, and it's pretty serious stuff. Or perhaps people who are permanently wheelchair bound. Perhaps they have a respiratory or a spinal issue. What's your pick up by the bootstraps story for them? Well, if you've been paying any attention to, say, YouTube or art or movie making, and any number of other things. If people in those kinds of a condition, or those kinds of conditions want to pick themselves up and they are passionate and ambitious and determined, they do it. One of my favorite YouTubers is a man who has a heart condition that is so severe that he is wheelchair bound, needs help breathing, can barely travel, and often when he travels, he has to go to the emergency room and to the hospital for weeks, if not months. And he is a popular YouTuber with well over 1 million subscribers. He needs help with basic tasks. His parents, now elderly, help him if he starts falling out of his chair, because he literally cannot get himself back up into his chair. And he is happy, and he is productive, and he is making enough money to continue supporting himself and his parents as much as he can, in spite of his condition. Don't talk to me about severe physical issues keeping people from being able to do any sort of productive tasks. Not in modern day America. Are there more severe physical issues that can make it almost impossible, or mental ones that make it almost impossible to be productive? Yes, those do exist. And that's why charity should exist. Not welfare, charity. Yes, there are the absolute destitute. But when people are still in a position where they can make the free will choice to push, to be ambitious, to not let anything keep them down, they do it. I've seen that more often than I have seen the other. And it's probably because I look for it. Why wouldn't a person like me, who doesn't suffer from those kinds of things, not want to be so deeply inspired by those who have so many disadvantages and do better than I do? I mean, if anything, shouldn't that put a fire under our pants and tell us to pick it up a bit? To do a bit more if we aren't wheelchair bound for life? If you're one of those who wants to get up in my grill about being cruel to those who are disabled, how insulting is that to the disabled? You want me to let off those who just suffer with some depression or maybe with some physical issues, when those with far more severe physical issues have worked their butts off and actually make some pretty decent coin. They've been industrious and creative, and they've found a way to continue to be productive in spite of their condition. And you're telling me that I should let people off the hook because they have far less issues? Far fewer, that is? Bullshit. So many people have every capacity to pick themselves up, but they don't. And when they have made that choice, how do they continue living? They still need to have the bare necessities. So where do they turn? Yeah, they might get a job that gives them at least some of the bare necessities still. But the other place that they will turn is towards the productive who have a bleeding heart. They will turn towards the productive who have pathological altruism. They will look towards people who are willing to make the kinds of decisions that they haven't made and try to siphon off of them. Should they be allowed to do it? Should they be allowed to find people who are perhaps not just charitable, but charitable beyond a fault? And beg and complain about their terrible situation, their oh-so-sad conditions, and get some freebies. Is that good for society? If the productive are bleeding hearts and pathological altruists, and give in to the pleadings of those who choose to be lazy, yes, they may be in a condition now where they're kind of set in stone in that position, but they chose it. If those are all the productive people, then where is all the produce going? By which I don't just mean fruits and vegetables, of course. The products of the productive, the riches, not just of money, but of mind and heart and body, where is it going? Into a black hole. It's going nowhere. Let me put it another way. Should the lazy and slothful be rewarded for being lazy and slothful when they can make the choice? And finally, does this help the productive? Those who are willing to be industrious and to make the hard choices and work hard, does it help them? I dare say it helps their sense of their own conscience. At least virtue signaling. Oh, I help the needy because I have this wasteoid relative or friend who just keeps asking for freebies but never does anything themselves. So I'm a charitable person. Is that helping the world? And you, being that very person, if you are so allowing yourself to be exploited, I've already gone through this once, is that helping you in your sense of productivity, in your ambition to do well in life, to be perhaps a good mother, or to make decent coin as a father and a husband for your family? Is that helping? Or is it making you kind of pissed? Is it making you a bit depressed? Is it a bit of a downer on your everyday, especially when you hear that your friend or parents or whoever they are coming over? And they're probably kind of barging in and not really asking for your invite or waiting for your invite. They're kind of voluntelling themselves to come. Or to be more precise, they're voluntelling you to be courteous and hospitable and have them over. I dare say no. It is hampering the productivity of the productive. Yourself being one. Or how about you are one of those people who gives in to the parasites? And then other people who have a similar mood to you, they are productive and industrious. They see you doing this. Does that encourage them to be the way that you are? Are they necessarily going to differentiate between your pathological altruism and your hard work? No, they're probably going to see that, go, you know, it doesn't really seem like a great deal to be productive, to be hardworking, if this is all you get for it. See, in every fashion, it's ruining the ambition of the productive. Is it good for the parasites? And by parasites, I'm not trying to just give them an ad hominem. I'm trying to name them by what they do. They can change what they do. It's not a moniker. It's a description of their actions. Does it help the parasites, the slothful, the lazy, to be given into in this way? See, if even those who are wheelchair-bound and can barely breathe can make money even for their elderly parents, can the person who has chosen themselves into a position of perhaps being overweight, being rather unwell and depressed, can they pick themselves up even then? Yeah, they've solidified themselves into a position of laziness by their own choice, and that choice is probably way back in the rear view. This is true. But again, if a wheelchair-bound person can pick themselves up, or a person who can only move their head, can make fine art, can these people pick themselves up? I should say yes. And if they can, if that is an option that is available to them, how are they going to be encouraged to do so if they are rewarded for being lazy? I should say they will not. See, they've already very clearly made their decisions. You may want to say to me, oh, but you could try to argue them into it. Like, you invite them over, right? You're courteous to them. You give them their desires at least a little bit. And you try to argue with them about their position and whether they should, or that they should, you know, work and so on and so forth. You know what? If that's what you want to do, go for it. But actually have the argument. Actually talk to them about their disciplines. I'm willing to wager they will not be coming over very many more times. See, they'll probably, if you're persistent with it, that is, because you give them the one argument, they're annoyed, maybe they leave in a huff, right? And this is not necessarily everyone. With some people, this might work, which is why I say, go for it. But the first time, let's say that they get a little bit huffy with you and they leave, but, you know, they're still kind of grateful for the meal or whatever it is that you provided, maybe just a good time, and then they'll do it again, but they haven't changed. That is, they come over, but they haven't changed. They haven't started working harder. They haven't started trying to pick themselves up. What are they hoping? They're hoping that that was a one-time conversation, and this time you won't bring it up. You won't notice, really, that they haven't changed, or you'll just kind of let it be water under the bridge. So what happens if you bring it up again? Well, if you're in Christian circles, they'll probably try to bring up some moral code that you have gone against now, because you're bothering them and you're offending them. But think about it. Are you actually looking out for them? I think so. Because you're trying to encourage them to live responsibly, with maturity, with conviction, to do the right thing. But oh, they'll try to tell you that you're being mean and nasty and offensive. And then they leave in a huff again. And then they probably come back at least one more time. Still hoping that that was the last time. I told them last time they were mean to me because they keep on bringing up that I'm not doing enough, that I'm not. And they probably frame it in those words. You were probably a great deal more diplomatic about it and nice about how you phrased your sentences. I told them off last time, so they won't bring it up this time, and I can just, you know, have a good time, and they'll be nice to me and give me what I want, and, you know, this won't be coming up again. But they haven't changed. They haven't started working harder. They haven't tried to, you know, lose a few pounds, whatever it might be. So you bring it up again. Now they're angry. See, now you're an abuser. You're the one who's continuously bringing up this thing that offends them and hurts their feelings or whatever it might be, or angers them. You're angering them. It's your fault. You keep bringing this thing up that makes them angry. You're an abuser now. And the funny thing is, at this point, they will probably do what, in a rightly situated moral position, is the correct thing to do. Now that they have labeled you as an abuser, they stop talking to you. They ghost you, perhaps, because you're a mean person. The funky thing is that even in their topsy-turvy, upside-down moral code, calling the person who was trying to do them good an abuser, well, calling you an abuser, they do what they should be doing. They're doing what you should have done in the first place. You shouldn't have associated with them to begin with. Or if you started associating them with them to start, but then you saw that there are major flaws in them, you should have started bringing it up much earlier. And then probably came to this result anyway, and then they stopped talking to you. And frankly, if you're in that kind of a position, I would say, well, that's fantastic. They gave you exactly the result that you should want, which is to not have to associate with them anymore, not to expend your resources, emotional, physical, and monetary, on a black hole. the crux of the question is, do you want the world to become a happier, more prosperous, more successful, more joyful place? If you want that, have friends who are also industrious, ambitious, strong, and hardworking. Choose a spouse who is strong, industrious, hardworking, productive, adds value to your life. And if you have family members who are just siphoning off of you, I don't say turn away from them right away. That's not actually the argument that I am making. Because if you already have a connection, I agree, you should confront them. This is exactly, again, what Jesus instructed people to do. If they are using you, if they are therefore abusing you and sinning against you, confront them. And then let them make their own decisions. If people are in fact improved by such confrontation, that's fantastic. If they change and start going from being lazy to being productive, I want that to happen too. But I don't hold my breath for it. And I think that this is wise. Because if you hold your breath, if you need lazy people to start becoming productive and stop using you, you're still letting them use you. Because you have just put a need in their court. You insist on them doing something that they refuse to do. And now, because your strings are attached to them, they have a prime opportunity to continue siphoning off of your very soul, not to mention your wallet. Our associations, as the Old and New Testament of the Bible both argue, are of vital importance, not just to us, but to the world as a whole. If we continue to give in to the leeches, to the parasites, we increase and subsidize and support those kinds of people. We dissuade the productive and increase the lazy. But if we choose to give of our time, our resources, our love, our energy to those who want also to give of their time and their resources, their love and their energy, how much can we produce? And again, I want to not be heard for what I'm not saying. I don't mean just in the sense of products and services, economy. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the production of children, of love, of affection, of good times, enjoyment, happiness, exercise. When the productive associate primarily, if not only, with the productive, everybody wins. And I do mean everybody. Because even those who, at least at this time, it doesn't have to be a permanent thing, are choosing to be lazy, there's going to be more stuff that they have access to. They'll have to work to get it, yes, which is also good for them. There will be more goods for them to have access to. And maybe, just maybe, if they begin to see how much fun the productive are having, without just some sense of resentment, they might start wanting to do it themselves. Now, before I end, I do want to point out that yes, just focusing on being productive can be selfish, it can be arrogant, it can be elitist. Certainly, I do not want people to become like that. But if we allow Those who choose to be lazy, to remain as they are and remain a part of their lives, there is only one result that can possibly follow. We're going to be used. Don't do it. So as always, that's all I had for today, and I hope it has given you not just a lot to think about, but perhaps some wise actions to possibly take. Until next time.